Now we're going to have a little visit. We want you to visit with us as we go to God's Saint Factory. God's Saint Factory. We've told you many times, and we're going to tell you many other times, that the human race, so far as the adults of this world are concerned, the human race is divided into just two groups, dead sinners and living saints. That's according to the Word of God, not according to religious tradition or what some denominational church teaches, but the Word of God teaches that you are either dead or alive spiritually. And if you're dead, you're a dead sinner in the world, having no hope because you're without Christ and without life. Now, a dead sinner does not need religion. There are some people, we're told in the book of Jude, that are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. When people who are dead in sins turn to religion instead of to God's message of life or salvation, then they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And if you're not a dead sinner, then you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been made alive and you are a living saint. Some days ago, there was a junk man went down our alley. My, you never saw such a mess as he had on that truck. He had old iron beds and old mattresses and springs and dirty papers and soiled rags. You walk out there and you say, my, just look at that waste material. What in the world does he want with it? But my dear friend, if you'd follow that junk and find that the paper and the rags would reach the up the paper factory. You ever been to a paper factory and see them apply their washing methods and their chemicals and take those soiled, dirty things, make them clean, and then manufacture them, and they go out for writing paper and wrapping paper, and sometimes they put a little crimson tinge in. And you know what that does? That turns it real snow white. It reminds you of the words of the Lord, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That, you know, is Isaiah 1:18. That's a wonderful statement. And God says, come now, let us reason together. Well, they'll take that rusty iron and the brass and all that waste material, and the first thing you know, it'll be in your living room or your kitchen, some useful vessel or utensil. Well, when I saw that, I thought of the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the human waste material out of which God makes saints, the dead sinners. Look at them. When Paul reached that great city of Corinth, he found the people given over to idolatry and adultery, ungodly. Some of them were cultured and well-educated, but they were just as great sinners as those who were not, those who were unlettered. For remember this, that culture and education will not change your flesh. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It may be religious flesh. It may be educated flesh. But a university professor can be just as much of a lost heathen as a man over in northwest China. Education will not change you, my dear friend. And religion will not change you. Joining the church will not change you. But if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, passing out of death into life. Well, notice what Paul found in the city of Corinth. Yes, he said to them here in the 9th verse of the 6th chapter, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now notice, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here he makes the general statement of the unrighteous, the two classes of people in the world, those that are alive and those that are dead, those who are righteous, those who are unrighteous, those who are in Christ, those who are in Adam, those who are in light, those who are in darkness, those who are in the church, those who are in the world, yes, the lost and the saved. Those who are living saints and those who are dead sinners. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then you remember in the third of Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know, there ought to be a fellow feeling in all of the, among all the members of Adam's family, because we're all in the same boat. We're by nature the children of wrath. We're unrighteous. And the greatest question that anyone could ask is this question. If no unrighteous man shall enter the kingdom of God and we're all unrighteous, is there any way by which an unrighteous man can become righteous? Not by any human endeavor, not by any human effort. Can the Ethiopian change his color? Can the leper change his spot? No. But thank God if we become God's workmanship, if we let God work upon us, if we're saved by grace, salvation is of the Lord, and a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Now notice, some of these people were fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate, users of themselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, some of them murderers. Oh, think of them. Here they were. Such were some of you. But something's happened. Like all that waste material we spoke about in the hands of the junk man became useful material. He says, now you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. And we say, oh, what a change since Jesus came into my heart. What a change here. God took drunkards and murderers and thieves and adulterers, and he washed them. Well, you say they needed washing. Yes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God didn't say we've all sinned alike, but he did say we've all alike sinned. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Some go, the lust of the flesh, and they land among the human derelict. And then others go through the pride of life, and others through the pride of the eye. And you know, pride will keep just as many people out of heaven as adultery. Pride caused Satan to fall when he was Lucifer, the anointed cherub. Yes, and many people fall into the condemnation of the devil. And because of pride, they will not with meekness bow to the authority of God's word and say, I know I'm a lost sinner. I know Christ died for me. I'm willing to take my place as an ungodly, hell-bound, lost sinner and come by faith to Calvary. My dear friends, if your pride gets out of the way and you're willing to take that stand, then you'll have this experience. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. These men who had been adulterers and murderers and thieves were addressed by the Apostle Paul in the first chapter as saints. The saints at Corinth. Sanctified saints of God at Corinth. And then he tells us how it took place in the 15th chapter of this 1 Corinthians. He said, you were saved by the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried and Christ was raised again. That's the wonderful gospel by which we're saved. Christ died for our sins. But if you want to get the blessing and the benefit, you say this, Christ died for my sins. He loved me and he gave himself for me. Then again, in the second chapter of Ephesians, we have a visit to the saints' factory. Here we have the human material out of which God makes saints. See, he begins with dead sinners, and here we have the divine process. Listen. In times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's the human material. Is it any wonder Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing? Is it any wonder he said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God? Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and you must be born of the Spirit? You must be born in earth and from above if you're ever to enter the kingdom of God? Oh, my dear friend, no flesh shall glory in God's presence, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what he says here. Here's the human material. Here's the divine process. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. For by grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And the 13th verse, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's the divine process. The Father, by the Holy Spirit, draws them to Christ and Calvary. Their guilty souls are washed by the blood of the Lamb. They're sanctified and justified. And someday, thank God, will be glorified.